The Couple Next Door, written by Peg Lynch and starring Peg Lynch and Alan Bunce.
Mr. Crenshaw? Well, I think he was stopping somewhere to get the car washed before he came home this evening. What?
And he dropped it in the water.
Yes.
All right.
Hold on, Mr. Crenshaw. Will you two be quiet? I'm on the phone with Daddy's boss.
Bobby dropped my elephant in the bathtub. Look at it. It's just soaked.
Don't be quiet. Hello, Mr. Crenshaw. I'm sorry. Well, I'll have him call you the minute he comes in. Call you at home. Yes. All right. Goodbye. When I am on the phone, Betsy...
Well, you're letting Bobby play with all my toys, and he's just ruining them.
Well, how did Bobby get your elephant? I didn't give it to him.
He told me to take my bath before dinner, and he came into my room when I was in the tub, and he got my elephant, and then he came into the bathroom and just threw it in the tub.
Oh, if he isn't into one thing, it's another.
But, Anna, he said, I don't think it's so true.
Yes, it is, and it was my favorite elephant.
I gave this elephant to Betsy, didn't I? Didn't I send it to her on her first birthday?
Yes, I think you did, Betsy. And she's always just loved it. Well, I'm sorry, Betsy. I'm afraid you'll have to keep the door to your room closed. Bobby is getting into everything.
He broke my music box last week, and he pulled the leg of Barbara.
Well, I'll sew Barbara's leg back on. I just haven't had time.
This elephant is certainly so true. Betsy's right.
And it's so nice and fluffy. Now look at it. And his trunk is all dry.
All right. Now, as soon as he dries, he'll look all right again. We'll put it on the radiator.
Oh, I don't think that's a good idea, dear. It's too hot. Why don't we turn the oven on very low, sort of bake him dry?
Well, we could try that. Oh, goodness, where can your daddy be? He has to call Mr. Crenshaw at once when he comes in. Something very important, Mr. Crenshaw said.
When Fidel Castro was biding his time in a remote fastness in Cuba, only a network like the CBS radio network had the equipment and manpower to go in and bring out the background of his revolutionary movement, his own words on what was to come and how it would come about. When major news breaks anywhere in the world, only a network like CBS radio has correspondents on the scene or within short range. Only news like CBS News is global in scope and as up-to-the-minute as a direct report from on the scene. That's why millions prefer CBS News on CBS Radio and its affiliated stations to every other reporting medium for speed, for accuracy. Remember, when the story's big, only a news-gathering force like ours can scoop it up and send it slicing through space to your set, packaged for immediate delivery. Get it first and get it right. Make CBS News on CBS Radio your listening post on the world.
Hurrah for Pete Sage and George Baxley.
Yeah?
Well, Piper, long time no see.
Yeah. You know, something seems to me the last time we met, we were both here getting our cars washed.
That's right. Some time ago, though. Must be a year.
Yeah, I guess it is. I've had my car washed in between, though.
Oh, yes, me too. Well, how's everything with you?
Oh, fine. Couldn't be better, thanks.
Golly, has it been a whole year?
I think so, about that. You had your little girl with you, and you were on your way to buy her a dog, as I recall.
By golly, that's right, yeah. Well, since then, I've acquired a son and built a new house.
No kidding.
Yep.
Well, congratulations. Did you get the dog?
Oh, yeah, I got the dog. I picked one up at the pet shop.
What kind'd you get?
Well, I think he's supposed to be a Springer Spaniel.
You wouldn't like another dog, would you? A nice collie? I've got four beautiful pups in my place.
Four?
Yeah, I raised them. Started last year. Sort of a sideline. Got myself a couple of pedigreed collies, and I've had some beautiful pups. Wonderful with children, good watchdog.
Yeah, you know, I sort of wish we'd gotten a collie. I'm afraid the dog we got isn't much of a watchdog.
How do you know?
Well, mainly because he'll bark his head off at me and then wag his tail at perfect strangers.
Oh, you can't tell. Just let some prowler come around at night, he'll bark.
Well, I wish we knew whether he would or not. You know, sometimes when I'm gone, my wife gets a little nervous, not knowing whether Brownie would raise an alarm or not, you know.
Well, do what Bill Haley did. Get somebody the dog doesn't know to come around at night. Tap on a window or rattle a doorknob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I ought to try that. We'd feel better knowing if Brownie would wake up and bark.
Hey, look here. I'll do it. I'm going to be out until late at a poker party. I'll stop by, tap one of your window panes, see if your dog barks. You'll know it's me, so you don't need to get worried.
Oh, George, no, I'm not going to bother you.
Listen, I'm game for anything connected with dogs. I'm crazy about them, and I've got faith in them, too. I'll bet you a dollar your dog barks. You want to bet?
Look, Joe, why should you bother?
Come on, give me your address. I'm going to prove that you've got a faithful dog.
Sorry, I'm a little late. I stopped to get the car washed over there. You know what I ran
into? Don't take your coat off.
What? Why?
Mr. Cranshaw has called four times and finally...
Cranshaw? Yes, why?
Well, he said you left the office early.
Well,
and
you knew I left the office early. I had to drive out to the Randall Company. When I was through
he told me... He wasn't mad, dear.
Oh.
He just said that he'd been trying to reach you. He wants you to drive out to the airport right away and meet a Mr. Shelley from the New York office who's arriving on the 7 o'clock plane.
7?
Yes.
It's 20 minutes to right
I
now.
I know. You'll just make it. Get going.
Well, wait
a minute. You're to take him to the hotel, have dinner with him, and after dinner, drive out to Mr. Cranshaw's house.
Well, wait, why is Cranshaw suddenly making me the reception committee? Look, this is the job that he likes.
It's his wedding anniversary, and he and his wife are having their little dinner at home together. Now, you're to call him after you and this Mr. Shelley have dinner.
Oh, boy. Even on his wedding anniversary, Cranshaw has to discuss business. What's the Shelley guy doing here now? He wasn't due until next month. You know, that worries me. I wonder what's up.
Well, I don't know, but get going to the airport. I'll call Mr. Cranshaw, say you're on the way, and then everything's all right.
Yeah. Boy, I hope it is.
Yes? And Effie?
Yes.
Oh.
Did I wake you?
No. Just dozing. I never really go to sleep until he gets home. Honestly, wouldn't you think on Mr. Cranshaw's wedding anniversary wouldn't have men out to his house discussing business after midnight? Really? What are you doing, Aunt Effie?
Don't turn on a light.
What's the matter?
I heard somebody outside.
Oh, now, Aunt
Effie. I did. I don't know what woke me, but I suddenly woke up and I heard footsteps on the gravel outside.
Oh, Aunt Effie, you're always imagining these things. Now, there's a police car that patrols the road around the lake here every hour.
But I saw somebody. I did. Get out of bed. Come here. I saw him. He's got a check coat on.
A check coat?
Yes. Are you sure?
Yes.
The porch light is on. I could see him. Oh. He's trying to get in the window.
Go get the baby. Go get the baby. Take him into Betsy's room and lock the door. I'll call the police. Hurry!
I ain't asked the questions around here.
Well, I don't care what this man says, officer. I have never seen him before in my life.
He was certainly trying to break in. I saw
him. Look, I know you don't know me. I know your husband.
No.
I met him tonight. He was going to be home. We arranged it.
Officer, this man must be out of his mind. My husband couldn't possibly have arranged any such thing. If you will let me call my husband, he's at his boss's house.
Yes, call him.
All right.
My name is Baxley, George Baxley. I'm a respectable citizen. Piper wanted me to find out if his dog would bark.
Now, why would he ask you to do that?
Nine.
Don't all dogs bark? You only listen.
What is now so funny? Something burning.
Oh, the elephant. Oh, did you leave the elephant?
Oh,
the elephant?
Yes.
Oh, I have to turn the oven. Oh,
what dear. Did she say?
I don't know. It sounded as though she said she left the elephant in the oven.
Well, we did. We put it in there to dry. You see, hello? Mr. Cranshaw, this is Mrs. Piper. Is my husband still there? May I speak to him? Thank you.
Mommy?
Oh,
what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Betsy, go on back to bed, dear.
Oh, is that Mr. Jones? Call Harry.
Oh, no, John.
Jungle,
how are we dining? Oh, yes, it's my daughter. She's speaking Swahili.
She's what?
It's not Mr. Jones, dear. She's speaking Swahili. She thought this intruder here was the father of some friends of hers who lived in Africa, and they're twins. They go, oh, well, never mind. It's just too
common. You just said an elephant.
Hey, look, what kind of a place is this? The husband hires a guy to see if his dog barks, the wife keeps elephants in the oven, and the kid speaks Swahili. Do you know these people?
Well, I've been trying to tell you, officer, the guy was getting his car washed, and I...
We'll return to the couple next door in just a moment. Time out for a short story about a boy named Johnny. Johnny was regarded by the neighborhood children as strange, aloof, and uncommunicative. His teachers complained that he never seemed to concentrate. His school grades suffered. He seemed on his way to becoming a thorough misfit. And then something happened. His alarmed parents took him to the family doctor, who found him physically sound and mentally alert, except for a tendency towards inattention. The doctor had a hunch and gave Johnny's parents the name of an ear specialist. Before long, they knew that Johnny was hard of hearing. Fortunately, his condition was correctable. Many hearing conditions yield to early treatment. This month, CBS Radio joins the American Hearing Society in asking, do you know how much can be done today for the hard of hearing? Your doctor knows. So does the American Hearing Society, 1800 8th Street Northwest, Washington 6, D.C. Address questions to American Hearing Society, 1800 8th Street Northwest, Washington 6, D.C.
Why didn't you tell me?
Look, I walked in the front door. The first thing you said was, don't take your coat off. You got to rush to the airport.
The idea of arranging any such silly thing and not even telling us.
Yes, scaring us half to death, huddled in Betsy's room with the door locked, waiting for the police.
Look, as soon as you told me about Cranshaw calling, everything else just went out of my mind.
Why you would arrange for anyone to come prowling around.
Look, it was his idea, not mine. He said Bill, somebody, had tried it.
But isn't it better to do it when the dog is home?
But look, I...
I told you at the breakfast table I was taking Brownie to the vets for a bath.
Well, I didn't hear you.
You were reading the newspaper, as usual. She told you.
Okay, she told me. I didn't hear her.
Well, I told you, and you know the vet always wants Brownie to stay overnight when he has a bath, so he's sure to be dry and not catch a cold.
Look, let's not go on about it. I apologize to George. I apologize to the police, but now I apologize to you. I've spent the evening with Cranshaw and Shelley over nothing. They couldn't have waited until tomorrow. Let's go to bed, huh?
Yes. Oh! And, of course, on top of everything, we left the elephant in the oven.
Well, don't... You did what?
The elephant was wet and... Oh, never mind. I'll explain it all later.
Yes, dear. For goodness sake, let's get to bed. It's 2:00 in the morning.
The Couple Next Door is written by Peg Lynch and stars Peg Lynch and Alan Bunn, with Francie Myers, Margaret Hamilton, George Petrie, and Frank M. Thomas, and is produced by Walter Hart.